Last night when I was, I've been getting up, I don't know, for some reason, I just kind of like wake up at 3 and then just kind of like, you know, like it's the, you know, Maharaj is with me, you know, like, and then just basically, you know, like the thought that came to me last night, just, you know, like half sleeping was, you know, this is a dead body at the moment. You know, all this fear that you see running around, it's like, you know, it's like when you really know that this is a dead body right now, I mean, like, you know, it really doesn't make much difference. I mean, you know, it's just pretty liberating.
And even the body is an appearance and is illusion.
Yeah.
The body and the body-based existence, the body-based experience is all illusion. You're formless. So within yourself, a body without the power of yourself is called, within the illusion, dead.
All right. You know, I was reading, well, I wasn't reading. I over the past couple of years, I recorded different books. And there's one book that I recorded, the Bhagavad Gita. And I was listening to the introduction. And it was very interesting because, you know, it's what the person was saying. He's like a scholar, actually. But he was saying that... I don't even know what his name is because I just was listening to what was there. I didn't do all the, I don't read all the introduction, all that kind of stuff in terms of, you know, the author and all that. But basically, it was saying that, you know, just the whole idea of matter, mind, energy, it's just one continuum, you know, basically. We bring to experience the categories of our own mind, and we only see with the mind, the structure of the mind. You don't really see the reality behind it. And so when a person, you know, like actually is free of the mind, they see that unity. You know, they're basically they have this, the realization that, that they are that, basically. You know, it's just really amazing. You know, just what some of the things that were mentioned there, you know, he was basically comparing, you know, like Thomas Aquinas and Sankara and all these, you know, thinkers and so forth, and the Indian philosophy and so forth. I mean, it's really, you know, like the terminology sometimes seems to be kind of like old fashioned, but it's just incredibly interesting. But basically, you know, it's just, and there's, with the Bhagavad Gita, there's just so many different paths that people can use. You know, the path of devotion, the path of jnana, knowledge, the path of, you know, action without concern for the fruits of the action. It's really, you know, like interesting and, you know, like, he mentioned, you know, like Greek, like the Dionysius, you know, classic example of what Maharaj is saying, just, you know, a quote from that. He mentioned Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, Meister Eckhart, and Royce Brooks, all just in kind of different, from different worlds, kind of saying, a lot of the same thing. But it was really, you know, just really interesting. And then I listened to one of the sad songs by Ron G, because I have recorded those. And I mean, from his book, I just read them into my, because understanding his English was really challenging. But someone did, got it, they translated what he had said into English, Bob Wolf, and it's, yeah, Illusion versus Reality. And so I read those. And so when I listen to them, I make a, you know, now but I know what they make a lot of sense. And basically what he said, you know, just throw the whole thing off, basically. You know, like being, he said, beingness is Mahamaya, the great illusion. Beingness is where it all begins, Mahamaya. So it's really positioning yourself prior to that. And, you know, this really.
Yeah, like Maharaj says, presence doesn't know I am presence.
Yeah.
When presence clicks with the body, then suddenly there's a knowing. Then there's a world and so many things to be known. And bhakti, jnana, siva, all of these things are basically unwinding back to prior to beingness.
Right,
because
right.
If you do siva service and you're doing service for others and not taking action, then the mind is not impressing that there's somebody acting. And so you're naturally inviting the attention of the invisible listener, presence in within the body. Oh, so that I. And the same thing with knowledge. When you sit there and you say, okay, knowledge is removing everything that's not I and investigating this that is I. But then the investigator is the one that's investigating all the things that are not I. And what you're left with is just the center of investigation. Again, presence within the body, inviting the attention of the invisible listener. Worship is using this body form for outward worship and outward devotion. And there's a feeling of, I surrender anything that's mine to you. And again, that's unwinding the false and going to yourself as the presence prior to knowing yourself through beingness.
That's right. Yeah, that's really good.
Everything in the world is in this way. Each of these different paths are doing the same thing, inviting the attention of the invisible listener that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. And if you do selfless work, you won't take ego of being a doer. If you do bhakti, then you're surrendering all aspects of this body and all its activities to that higher power, so to speak, to Brahman. And in doing all of this, then your mind quietens down because, okay, you say, Master, I want nothing to be other than your will. I surrender in a bhakti type devotion. So that then if you're in the hospital, you just say, okay, this is the will. This is your will. You were with me. You gave me this mantra. Whenever I'm disturbed, I come to mantra. I come to presence. Because Master in body form was the formless presence, knowing itself without body, speaking through the body to the presence within this body that still had the belief that it was contained within a body. And all of that was occurring within the bubble of illusion of I exist. Oh, hello, iPhone. We have somebody new. Mr. iPhone, how are you?
Oh, that might be, there's a new person.
Yes.
That I got an email from, Amit, and I put somebody else, he said, put this guy on the mailing list. His name is Aaron. I don't know if that's him or not, but I added him to the list.
Good, good. Well, welcome.
Yeah.
There was one friend, he passed away 2-3 years back, and when he was being asked, why don't you like iPhone? He says, like, there is I in it.
But it's little I.
Okay.
They didn't know what they do when they called it an iPhone, because they didn't know that it's a channel for the I, which is beyond any kind of phone.
And I know, like, he was deep into like search at that time. So yeah. He's just like, I'm trying to deal with I, and again, there is one more I don't want.
There you go.
I read something recently that was sort of related, I can sort of relate it to what we were just saying, or what Andrew was saying. It's a, they're mentioning this lady named Bernadette Roberts, who wrote some pretty amazing detailed descriptions of mystical experiences of hers. And she says here, Bernadette Roberts said about the no self condition or experience, which is the full understanding of the nature of non-dual reality, that it is not integrable with the human condition. Sometimes I guess maybe I'm trying to integrate it with the human condition. Sort of not going to work, but.
Just know that the human condition is an appearance on spontaneous presence. Within this presence that you are, is this human condition. Just don't get confused. You're the presence. You're not the human condition, nor are you the body that you're holding. You're the presence. So there can be no confusion, but there's still, you look around and you see, as long as your presence is, this body is able to sustain the presence, you see this world. But just know that this entire world is a projection of your spontaneous presence. You're the projector. Like Maharaj says, don't get caught up in the projections. Remain with the projector. Oh, iPhone changed his name. Ram Verma. Hello, hello.
Hello.
No, sir. Aham Brahma means I am God, I think. It's a...
Aham Brahmasmi?
Yes,
I
yes. Mean,
yeah, I am that. Or I am, yes, Brahman.
Yeah,
I am Brahman, I am that. But there's also, you know, those Mahavakyas are like Aham Brahmasmi, Karvam, Selvidam, Brahma, Brahmam, Satya, no, Brahma, Jaga, Satya, I forget. I used to say them all. Before I went to India, that was like my thing that I would do every evening. I would go through the Mahavakyas. And the main thing is, all of this, including me, is that absolute reality. Because that absolute reality is all there is. There is no me other than a appearance or one of the projections that the projector is projecting. Again, presence is like you could consider the space in the room and clicked with a body form and suddenly said, I exist, or in the form of an ant, or in the form of a cockroach, or in the form of a spider, or in the form of a dog, or a cat, or a little kid. Whatever form that this presence that's everywhere seemingly knows the sense of existence through, the identification is immediately, the first time I ever know myself is in this body form, I feel this is me. And I have people around me who label this body form. So this I that I don't know becomes this name that I do, labeled with this body that I know, because prior to the body, I did not know I was.
Yeah, that's how you confuse that you are the body.
Exactly. The first time ever you know the sense of existence and that you exist is in a body form. Prior to taking the body, you did not know you existed. Now suddenly the sense of existence is here. I exist. Wow, it's like a celebration. Then I exist as this thing. And as a small child, this I exist is given a label as John. John has experiences, and these parents are telling John that you are our child, and I'm your dad, and this is your mom, and these are your, you know, other siblings, maybe. This is your house, and this is where you are. So you start to say, oh, I am John, and everything that I do is based from that false perspective. And the mind flow, impressing memories and past experiences, is of John's experiencing. And from, that's why Maharaj says, erasing the wrong files. Because these are the wrong files. I've been gathering data. It's as if a computer, instead of going one and zero and understand, it had a little glitch in it. You buy a computer and it has a virus. So every time you go to make a Photoshop or you go to have a photo, there's little grains in it because it has a virus. Well, the virus is I am somebody else. And every time I perceive anything, it's from that incorrect perception of being a body in a world. It's not true, but it impresses. That's why Maharaj says, you've been with the body so long that it's impressed all these false things on you. We're squawking again. And it does show up in the recording because somebody even texted me and said, wow, you guys should have better audio. What to do?
Yeah, who's got a duck in their room?
Sounds like a dog or something.
Okay. I don't know. But yeah, so, and you know, think about it. As a small child, you perceive that this is mom, this is dad. So every experience I have is mom and dad, my mom and my dad, my house. I buy a dog, now it's my dog. I have to feed my dog. And so this I and my gets so confused, and all these body-based impressions are formed, and that's how we continue to see. In reality, stop at the I exist, and you do that by remaining with your selfless self. We just talked about bhakti. Why bhakti? Why devotion? Because devotion is outward surrender of this thing that you are not. Because most devotion is, I am at your feet, master, or thy will, not mine, be done, or whatever you want to say. It's surrendering the concept of being something other. That's devotion. The bhakti. The seva service, same thing. I want to go and do all this service, but I don't take credit for anything I do because God's doing it through me. So that impresses the fact that there's no me, that I'm just an instrument. And all of these things are doing what? They're just erasing illusion. Mantra erases illusion because illusory thoughts that are coming through are discarded and swept out. Like Maharaj says, you take a broom and you sweep them out. And the basis is you just want to undo all these false thinkings, all these false perceptions, these memories that are not true because they all were corrupted memories. Not a single memory that you have is true because it's corrupted as you being a body, which you were not. And then yet, at the time of so-called death or leaving the body, these memories will bother you. Even though these memories are not true and they're the wrong files and they were all from the perspective of a virus, you want to hold on to these memories and these memories of what about my life? Because you're remembering your life from the false perception of being someone and you are not. And this causes fear and, you know, all this stuff of what my life and my memories, but all your memories were from a false perspective. All the knowledge you've acquired is from a false perspective. All the relations, even mom and dad, it's not mom and dad. It's you in the form of mom and dad and you in the form of little kid. So if you knew, if you came to know your existence and, oh, I exist, I'm completely formless, but there's a form-based world that I seem to be in. That I can use a body and have experience, but not be touched by any of it. And I don't need this memory to be so cherished about John's lovely memories, because there's no John. It's just John is the instrument the presence is using to experience the world. Without a body, you have no experience. Without the sense of duality, you'd have no experience. So when you remain prior to beingness, you can use a body and have experiences, but you're not actually having experiences because you never leave the correct position. I am not body.
You know, Krishna told Arjuna that, he told him so much. I mean, it's an amazing little book. He told him that in one part that even if you decide not to fight in this war, you will fight in this war because you're simply an instrument, and it's already, it's just, it's done,
yes. You know,
basically.
Yes. And he told Arjuna, don't try to be the best warrior. or don't try to go out there and take ego of, I have to win, and I'm, no, just do your duty.
Right, yeah.
Show up and do your duty. There's a fight to be had, there needs to be a fight. You don't have to think that it's Arjuna killing his cousins and all this. It is just, there is a task and a duty to be done. Do your job, do your duties. Don't take ownership of these things because you are not body. And the whole idea of Krishna, when he turns into all these, like almost like an acid trip for Arjuna, is showing him what Arjuna believes and what he wants to see, throwing away all the concepts, because in reality, there's no separation between Arjuna and Krishna. And Krishna knows this completely using body form. He's also speaking to Krishna, or that that you are, within the body form of Arjuna, and telling Arjuna, eliminate these body-based concepts, because only the body-based concept wants to see the like acid trip of spiritual worlds and all this. Only the body-based wants to have spiritual experiences. That's why Maharaj, and Nisargadatta Maharaj was very strict about, do not talk about your spiritual experiences with other disciples, because A, you're giving ego to yourself and ruining your spiritual body, and B, you're causing others to be disturbed, because if you say, last night I was meditating and the walls fell down and I went into this bright light and then I surfed the bright light and I wound up in India and there was Maharaj, and they're like, I'm not having that experience. But remember, there's no experience, no experiencer. The experiencer that's having the experience is the reality. All the experiences are just things that are seen, the projections from the reality. Even your experience of, oh, I can feel myself as bodiless, is not quite right, because you're experiencing from a point of view of a body, feeling like they're formless, when in reality, it's the formlessness that you are, that is just these, this illusion of being in a body, and all these body-based impressions are dissolving. It's just, you have to, it's like a glove. You've turned the glove a little bit, and you just have to, it's a reverse. Like, from the position of a body, I feel samadhi. From the position of the formlessness, there's just a dissolving of all the things that are not.
One question.
Yes, yes.
Actually, if we see, like, you know, it could be Ramakrishna or Nisargadatta, it could be John Richards, R.J. Krishnamurti, at one point of time, they underwent tremendous suffering. At least, you know, so far, whomever, you know, as I know, they underwent a lot of suffering, you know, to know that it's illusion, or, you know, it's everything is illusion. So is Nam Mantra is a kind of suffering, or meditation, or experiencing, every experience is just a suffering?
Every experience needs to be let go of as I'm having an experience. And that experience I had when I was in the ashram with the food poisoning, I could have taken the touch as John is getting really, really, really sick. And the doctor says that John needs to go to the hospital and have IV and all this. Instead, I remained with my selfless self and I went through the experience. You could say that the body was going through a suffering, which it probably would have gone through either way. But the idea is to remain not as the sufferer, but as the source of seeing of this suffering. This suffering has arisen on my spontaneous presence. The suffering increases when I believe that I'm a body. The suffering decreases or almost dissolves when I know that the body that's going through these experiences is not me. That is not myself. So the suffering is, in a way, you could say, is unreal, but yet is real from the point of view of I am a sufferer. This body is suffering. These things are happening to me. From the reality, nothing is happening. You have to stay with the reality, no matter how much the appearance seems to be progressing deeper into suffering. You are not suffering. You need to find that point in you that is not suffering, but that's seeing the suffering. And right away, you know that you are prior to every experience. So if you're experiencing suffering, suffering has appeared to you, not you suffering. The one that's suffering is the illusory entity that you believe yourself to be because of this body form. And that was profound in Nashik. I mean, getting very, very sick every couple of times a night, running to the bathroom and having horrible, just terrible. Don't even want to talk about that. And day after day of this, and dehydrating and getting more and more tired, and actually having to say, I'm sorry, I can't come to Bhajan today. I can't get out of bed. And that was a couple days. Then the doctor came in and saw me. He took temperature and did stuff. And he said to Maharaj, we need to take him to the hospital. So we went and took him to the hospital. But the whole time, remaining with mantra and actually being willing, whatever of me that can die, let it go. And I know that sounds crazy and you say, oh, no, nobody has this kind of, but this was the conviction that was coming through being in the presence of Sri Ramakant Maharaj, the Sadguru, was knowing that this mantra, this presence, this formlessness that I came to believe as a power greater than myself, this presence that I called God, has appeared in a form and said, okay, the next part of your journey is to erase this idea of you. And this mantra will do that. No matter what happens, remain with mantra. And you just remain and remain. And the food poisoning came and went. And then Maharaj said, this is all the great saints have had this suffering and such. And all have focused on selfless self and forgotten about the body. And this is, it's just something. You may experience or you may not experience. But the idea is your everyday life is a suffering for your formlessness that you are. Because you're progressing as either, okay, I'm dissolving this illusion. Every experience that comes, I'm dissolving the illusion and remaining with the sense of presence. Or I'm getting again caught up. Oh, you know, it's like look at, I'm all the way over there again. And that's okay too, because you say, oh, I'm all the way over there. You pull the reins back. Because sitting here, following the mind flow, you can be in Japan right now. The mind flow can take you and just start thinking and start thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and allowing this to just take you away. And it's not reality, but it will appear real to you because you're paying attention to this mind, these experiences. What can I get? But you're formless. Your basket, it's empty. Well, a hole in the bottom. Everything you put in this basket, it just falls through. And, you know, there's no need to acquire. I think Maharaj says, did you come into world with pockets? No. So there's no need to gather and put things to get, you know? You do your job, do your duties, remain formless. A situation arises, such as this coronavirus. Observe the one that is observing the disturbance about the coronavirus. It's totally okay to be like, okay, I'm looking at news and I want to see, oh, wow, the death toll is like 10% worldwide. Oh, that's kind of a little bit not good, but I'm not body. The entire world is illusion. And yet I can participate and I can have compassion because I know I'm not body.
Gives you a great deal of freedom.
Yeah, I don't have a dog in the fight. You know, it would be like just this, okay, example. You have a favorite football team. You follow them. You want them to win so much, but you're totally involved in the game. Then you have this man or woman, depending on whether you're man or woman, who you like very much, who invites you to a football game of her favorite team, or even not her favorite team, just she got some tickets, and you don't care which team wins or loses. You're going to have a very different experience than watching your home team on home field. Why? Because of identification and involvement on the appearances that are happening. And the truth is, all the outcomes are manufactured through the mind. You have no idea what's going to happen minute to minute. You just don't. I mean, we could say, oh, yes, yes, we know that, you know, this is not going to happen. No, we don't. We don't know. Tonight, we all go to sleep, and maybe next week, you know, Kathleen sends out an email. There's no John. John left the body. We don't know.
And then we think something did happen.
Well, the whole idea is then, if you continue to think about that, if you think about the fact that this body is so fragile, it's a five elemental body, things go wrong with it all the time. But if you're identified with that thing that's constantly changing, that's so fragile, and that things can go wrong with, then your mind flow is going to be able to disturb you. But if you treat it, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, as neighbor's child, this body is the neighbor's child. I hope it does good and it take care of it and such, but I'm not so attached with it.
Because yeah, one of the things that I find it's really good to know is that, you know, like you talk about manifestation, it manifestation is only the mind. It really is. You know, when I say that the world is your thought, this is really, it's really true. It's good to just remind ourselves of that a lot. And that's basically the idea of the projection. You know, it's just you are the creator or the center. You know, you are the central point.
But not as this body form.
Not as a body form, right.
And the thoughts are not occurring in here. Yeah. Only if you're identified with a body are the thoughts occurring in here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're occurring here.
They're outside, yeah.
They're what we call world. Mind is what we call world.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a mind in here.
Well, that's what that book was getting at, actually, that there's a continuum that it's just, it's just...
Lost.
Yeah, it's just really interesting.
Lost.
Oh, Beth, are you trying to talk? Beth?
My son came in the room and asked me something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because we can hear just everything. So you might want to mute yourself if you want to talk to somebody.
It's all good.
I can't mute my phone, I don't think.
Oh.
I don't know how that works.
It's okay.
Sir, I think that is Ram Kumar Verma, the one who is participating now. Ram, hello? Ramji?
Hi.
Hey, hi Ramji, you can turn on the video.
It's okay today.
Okay. Sir, we met, actually he wanted to meet Maharaj. He even tried to meet Maharaj before the Maharaj demise. Like one day before he started to going Nashik. But he apparently came to know that Maharaj left the body.
Well, you'll come to know the Maharaj if you can read the book Selfless Self. You can read the book Ultimate Truth. Read the book I Am That. You'll start to feel Maharaj. You'll start to feel that presence. And then the words that Ramakant Maharaj is giving you to take you back to yourself and erase the body knowledge, as you begin to feel the presence through these books because you're reading the reader, then you'll know, oh, so I am that. Then you'll start to remain with that presence. Then you've met Maharaj. And you can bow to Maharaj's feet by remaining with yourself, the self.
It's really a good opportunity to know selfless self when all this stuff is going on about the body and the virus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you can participate. I mean, I will read different articles and things that are popping up and different various things at work. We're all teleworking now and locked down in the house, not able to go back and forth to Washington, D.C. And, but these are just things, you know, the scenes are changing. Now my routine is I get up from the bedroom and walk into the kitchen and turn on and I'm at work. I still listen to bhajans and I still do my morning readings, but it's just in a different place. And I can even chat with my colleagues on Teams. You know, we talked about the fact that there's this chart and it looks like, okay, like 190,000 people are playing the game. And so far, like 8,000 have died and the other like 70,000 have recuperated. But there's still that exact same number still playing the game. And that's if the game stopped today. And this is going to exponentially increase by 5, 6, 7, 8 fold. So the death rate is going to go into like around 10%. But these are just statistics and speaking. There's no fear behind it. I don't know on that end, but on this end, there's no fear behind it. We're joking about it and, you know, what can you do? And as long as you're not so like, oh, what happens to me? What if I'm one of those 10%? What if I fall in this percentile? And the doctor already told me, I do fall within the percentile because of my heart condition and the pacemaker. So I'm one of the, like, quote, old people that has to be shut in. But
like
again,
us, like me.
You know, yeah, exactly. So it's like, yeah, 60 and above, and then the heart condition is, like, really bad because this thing has attacked your lungs and do all kinds of terrible stuff. But again, you are not body. You are not body. You're not going to remain the body. And if in your experience, and I've said this before, if in my experience, I'm laying there and I am experiencing this mass going over and they say, oh, you know, we don't know if you're going to make it or whatever. I deeply, deeply, deeply know I'm remaining with my selfless self. Until I'm no longer experiencing remaining with my selfless self. Because then I am my selfless self.
The other night, what came to me when I woke up was that the way I would like to die is loving that, you know, like just kind of like just loving the selfless self, the reality, you know. The master, you know, whatever, you know, like there's so many ways you can speak about Krishna, Christ, whatever, you know, just loving that. And that's, it's really formless, really is, you know, I mean, there's so many faces for it, you know, like all the saints and all the, you know, just so many expressions of it, but it's basically, it is ultimately beyond every expression, you know, it's just being in love with that, at that time, you know, it's just like
remaining with a sense of presence. The presence is everywhere, but it can only be felt with the body. So as this body can no longer sustain presence, there will be a fading of the knowingness. And that's like, I guess, well, like Sri Nazagadatta Maharaj talks about the bliss of the final moment is, as the body can no longer sustain presence, the presence that is everywhere will no longer be knowing itself through body, but this will fade. It's not like I know myself, I don't know myself. It's going as a fading, because the body's gonna, you know, you're thinking you can and whatever the body's doing, but that's a fading away of the knowing. The I am appeared and there was knowing. The I am disappears, there's no knowing. And that's all there is. There's no birth and no death. There is an experience of knowing, an experience of unknowing, or not knowing anymore. And that is, you know, like then you will know. If you remain with your selfless self and stay just completely formless, just as you're fading, this body can no longer sustain that essence. That is the moment of eternity. Like, well, there was no birth, there was no death, there was an experience of I exist through a body form that I won't experience I exist anymore, but I definitely exist. And you don't have to think about that because you just remain with the sense of presence. How can anything happen to this? It's not possible. There's no, how would anything happen to this? You can feel it so strongly when you just remain with your selfless self and kind of use this body again to dip into the nectar, dip the cup into the nectar of immortality and just be with your selfless self. Completely complete. Just complete.
You don't have any other choice anyway. It's like,
well,
I mean, like,
leave your body.
Yeah.
And that's why they tell the stories of like,
no, I mean, it's the best choice. I mean, it's the only real choice, you might say, that makes any sense at all. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
But like Maharaj says, you don't want to discover yourself a self on your deathbed.
No.
And wonder. The conviction has to be, I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. I am going to remain with this sense of presence. This sense of presence is myself. It's letting me know that I'm there. I did not know myself through the body. I know the sense of presence and I know I exist. This is pointing back to that was there prior to experience itself.
Prior to beingness, yeah.
Prior to beingness. Beingness appeared to that you are, that did not know you are. And that's why Maharaj says, presence doesn't know I am presence.
So that's the great opportunity of being in the body is this recognition.
It's kind of like the only point of being here, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the illusion of experience created by the body-based existence is kind of, you get to play, you get to see like what it would be like to do this and what it would be like to do that and how would this be and all this. It's the only situation that's troubling, so to speak, is believing you're like, rather than just playing a Monopoly game and moving around and paying the rents and getting the money and all that, and knowing that when the game's over, it's all fun. It's identifying with the game. I am this little dog. Oh my God, I landed on Boardwalk and I'm wiped out $2,000. How can that happen? I have to borrow money from the bank to pay for this stupid hotel. Oh, I'm doing so terrible in this game. But, or, oh, look at this. I passed go and, oh, look at that. I just landed on Boardwalk. Well, at least my dog's staying in a nice place for tonight. You know? My dog's staying on the nicest hotel on the board tonight. So, okay.
Yeah, wouldn't it be amazing the world that we would have if everybody saw that particular analogy, you know, that that it's all just you know, a game sort of, you know.
Monopoly.
Yeah.
Very much so. And I may have, as a young boy, the desire to be president of the United States or to go off to college and be an astronaut, but that may not be where this body form and this body is, this body story is going. And as long as I don't identify with this body and get so hung up on, why isn't this body doing better? Why isn't this John doing better? And then I sit with myself and I think and I beat myself up. Why aren't I not doing better? But because I'm identifying with the body. The body's going to go through the experiences that it goes through. And there's really nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah, that's almost like King Lear thinking, you know, maybe I better talk about the author here because I don't like this situation I'm in, so I should talk to the author to change the script.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because the King Lear has nothing to do with the circumstances of his life. He's just acting out something that's somebody named, you know, some god named Shakespeare wrote. And so, you know, we have somebody wrote the script and you're just here to live it out.
Exactly. The same with the author in a book. And they talk about, I think Maharaj has talked about before, the characters in the book complaining to the author that, you know, you're making me into a mean character. I don't want to be a mean character. Or, you know, I'm this depressed character. I don't really, you know, I'm not feeling depressed. You know, I don't want to go down that route.
But it's kind of like the Goonies, you know, like, you know, the three Goonies.
Yes.
We have nothing to do with them. I mean, maybe, correct. You know, like it's, I think this whole thing is about you're totally separate from them. You know, it's just, They're happening,
whatever way they're going,
whatever.
And the Rajas
and the Tamas and the yes. Sattvic. And those are, as long as you're not identifying with a body, then you're not taking ownership or doership of various things. You make a mistake, okay, it's done, finished. You don't have to keep thinking about it all day long. You get into an argument with a friend, okay, maybe you apologize. You say, okay, you know, maybe I wasn't so. But if the egoistic sense of self says, I'm never speaking to them again, then you've created an experience, a me and a them. If things just are arising in front and you know, everything's appearing in my spontaneous presence. The seer is true. The scenes are not. The scenes come and go, but the seer that sees the scenes come and go is not coming and going, because if you were coming and going with all the scenes, you wouldn't notice that the scenes were changing. You would be just flowing along with the scenes. So the scenes change. One day may be very good, one may be very bad. And why very good, very bad? Based on identification with the body and mind flow saying it's a bad day or it's a good day. And this is just not true. If you even look back in your whole life as this body form, you can see that many times it's just ups and downs and ups and downs. And you do the best you can in the moment and forget it. You don't sit there and regret the past and you don't try to predict the future. If a car is coming towards you, you jump out of the way. But you don't have to sit there and curse and write the guy's phone number or, you know, license plate number down and go and scream at him about how irritated you are. And it takes you 6 months to find his house. No, you jump out of the way. If it's raining, like Maharaj says, if it's raining, you put an umbrella up to not get wet. Or if you don't have an umbrella and you're getting wet, you'll get dry. So it's not so much harm getting wet. The clothes get wet in the dryer anyway, or in the washing machine anyway. So there's no big deal unless you create a position and then allow this egoistic identification to enforce that position and make this little anthill a big mountain. And the reality is both the anthill, and the mountain are projections on your spontaneous presence.
How the presence you are pointing is experiencing through the body. That means even everything appearing is same, na? Like not only the living things. I think non-sentient things also like that, na? Like,
well, again, think about it as a dream. You're laying down. You're able to see the dream. You're able to interact with the dream. You're able to be inside the dream. Yet you're laying down as this body. Everything is formless. All the forms that you're seeing, including the body that you're using when you're in the dream, have come out of formlessness and appeared as form. And the seer and the projector of this dream is not in the dream at all. You are not in your dream. You're sort of in an outside kind of state observing the dream, but you observe the dream as one of the dream characters within the dream. But the dream itself is being projected from you. So every person you meet in the dream is your own self. And you're seeing the dream as a position of being a body or something in the dream, because otherwise how you see the dream? You cannot see the dream. So even though you're formless and you're, like Maharaj talks about, video shooting, you're recording the dream. Because when you wake up from the body, you say, oh, I had a good dream or a bad dream. You remember some things. But how did you experience that dream? You had to identify with an object within the dream to see what was going on inside the dream. And it all came from formlessness because you're a form laying down in which this form is occurring. You go to sleep at night. And you know yourself, you see, you feel the body, feel the body, feel the body, you drift off to sleep, no longer feel the body, then boom, then a dream. Now you feel a different body and you see a different world and you're moving about. But that all took place within the consciousness. Now what Maharaj is saying and what all the masters are saying, accept yourself, the self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. And this is that the body that's laying down, that's projecting the dream consciousness, the consciousness is projecting the body that's laying down, that's projecting the dream consciousness. Both consciousnesses, it's only one. There's no separate dream consciousness and waking consciousness. It's just identifications with the objects within each consciousness in which you're seeing this so-called world, whether it be waking world or dream world.
It's all a function of the mind. There isn't a mind, but just thoughts are so they're like things, you know, they're just powerful as far as creating what appears to be, you know, reality, which is not.
Well, and again, prior to body experience, prior to beingness, you didn't know thought. You weren't thinking.
Right.
Because there wasn't even any sense that you existed.
Yeah, it'd be nice not to have any thoughts. I guess you could look at it that way.
Well, within the body form, you can definitely have no thoughts because you're not identifying with the body as being in the world.
Right.
You're basically in the deep sleep state, kind of.
Yeah.
You're there, but not there. No yeah. Consciousness is stirring to create an illusory experience.
That's why they say that awakening is like deep sleep.
There's no mind activity and there's no identification with the body form. And yet there's the appearance of a dream, but there's no interacting with the dream. It would be like a telescope that just sees what's going on, but without identification with the dream character. Even in a dream, you identify with a character in the dream as you, within the dream. You do this spontaneously because you don't know any better. Right. That's a big clue too. Like when you dream, you automatically identify with the character within the dream and get lost in the character and the scenes that are going on and forget that you're dreaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you do remember you're dreaming, then you, quote, wake up and you say, oh, I'm dreaming. And that'll usually bring you to waking.
Yeah.
So it's a spontaneous thing. You lay down at night, dream world's projected. You identify with a character within the dream world and get lost in the illusion very quickly and forget you're dreaming.
Unless you know how to lucid dream, a lucid dream.
Yes, yes. And lucid dreaming would be sort of like remaining with yourself with self, remaining with the sense of presence, and knowing that this is just not true. It can't be true. You're absolutely formless. How can this be your, it just can't. I mean, you're formless. The only way that you can experience all of this is clicking with a body form as you would in a dream and seeing a world. Without the body, you're not clicking and you're not seeing a world, because it's just as in the sleep, if you didn't identify spontaneously with a character within the dream, you wouldn't see a dream. And yet you are the one, the formlessness, that's video shooting. Maharaj gives this example so many times. You're video shooting the dream because you wake up and you say, oh, wow, that was a very scary dream. Or, oh man, I want to go back to sleep right away because that was a very great dream. And again, there's identification with the character within the dream, because you laying down sleeping, you weren't having good experiences or bad experiences, but the character that you identified within the dream that impressed through the mind that I'm having this excellent experience, I want to rush back to sleep, you're lost in the identification. You forgot yourself, as Maharaj says. And I'm sure we've all had that, where you wake up and you're like, I know I've had that, where you wake up and you're like, man, I really want to go back to sleep right away. You know, I had to go to the bathroom, whatever, I woke up, but I had such a really great dream. I want to go back and be right there, because I'm identifying with a character within the dream as real and forgetting myself.
That's right, yeah.
Well, it is time, I think, John.
Yes, okay.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.